Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. We are still studying Quran chapter 16, the book of the bees. We know from verse 1, as interpreted by the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalain, that chapter is a Makki chapter, except the last three verses, 126, 127, and 128. But surprise, surprise, when we read Quran chapter 16 and verse 41, we saw a problem. Here is what Allah said. And those who emigrated for the sake of Allah, after they have been treated unjustly, we will surely in this world give them good, and the wage of the hereafter is bigger, if they were knowing. Now, this verse interpreted by Muslim scholars like Al-Tabari, stating that Allah is speaking about, sometimes he mentions specific people and they give us their name, or just simply the Muslim believers who emigrated from the city of Mecca to the city of Medina because of the persecution they have faced while they were living with the infidels of Mecca. But that contradicts what we just have read by the great Muslim scholar Al-Jalalain. He told us the entire chapter is Makki, except the last three verses. And now we are here in verse 41, where we learn about the people who immigrated from Mecca to Medina. So the question we must ask is this: was this verse written in Mecca or in Medina? If that verse is written while Muhammad is in Medina, that means the assumption given by Al-Jalalain about that entire chapter is Makki, except the last three verses, is false. It cannot be both ways. If this is a Makki chapter, that means the entire chapter was written in Mecca, meaning the entire chapter was written in the first 13 years of Muhammad's life. If it is a Medina chapter, that means the entire chapter was written in Medina, meaning in the last 10 years of Muhammad's life. But somehow, these so-called Muslim scholars fabricate so much details. Oh, the entire chapter is Makki, except this verse and that verse. And when you go and investigate these verses, which they are suggesting that they were written somewhere else, you don't see any real reason why even these verses were added to the chapter. You can get rid of them, and you still did not lose anything. So in simple words, all Muslim scholars are suggesting plenty of materials without any evidence. It is simply assumption without any verification. Now, throughout our ministry, as we talk to Muslims and share the truth of the gospel with the Muslims, the best answer the Muslim can come up with to reject the truth which we share with them is that the Bible has been corrupted. And I know many of you have heard that so many times in the past. And it is so amazing that neither Allah, Jibreel, or Muhammad, or so-called Muslim scholars actually know what books they're talking about when we talk about the books of the Bible. Because throughout the Quran, we read about the Torah, the Zabur, and the Injil. But besides these three names, we have no clue what else is in that book, which is the Bible. Well, if you ask the Muslims, what is the Torah? Trust me, they have no answer. They think it is just the book which Allah gave to Moses. As a matter of fact, as we read in the past, some of the scholars' interpretation, we could not help but to laugh. Because it is the boards, yes, plural, boards, which is in the Arabic language three or more. Which, by the way, is the same boards which Moses threw to the ground. And the word which Muhammad used in the Quran is the word alwah. It means it is actually boards made out of wood, not out of stones. And amazingly, as we dig deep to read about such boards which Moses received from Allah, we came up with many different interpretations of the size of such boards. Some said it is 10 feet by 20 feet. Who knows whatever numbers they come up with. And amazingly, also Muslim scholars disagree on the number of these boards. Some said 5, some say 10, some say 15. And only Allah knows us how many boards Moses received from his Allah. One important fact Muslims agree on, that these boards, when Moses threw them to the ground, they did not break. These are the boards of Moses, the book of the Torah. What about the book of Zabur? Well, that is the book which was given to Prophet David. After all Muslim scholars tie David with the Zabur and the Zabur with David. When in reality, the word Zabur is not actually an Arabic word. And if we examine the book of Psalms, that is where we read about so many of the writings of David, we will find out it was not only written by David, but many others. But did David receive these Psalms from Allah? No, he did not. It was his own writings with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, as well as when Moses wrote his first five books, the books of the Torah. These are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. These books were not revealed to him as Muslims claim Muhammad received his Quran, which means that Allah gave these books to some angels and angels gave to Moses, and Moses wrote them down. Because that's how Allah stated in the Quran. He revealed to Muhammad as he revealed to previous prophets. When in reality, we know that Moses did not receive such revelation in such ways. The only thing was given to Moses by God, and they were written by the fingers of God, are the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone. And by the way, when Moses wrote them on the bottom of the mountain, they were broken. That's why we read, once again, God asked Moses to make up two new stones, and that's when God once again wrote on them the Ten Commandments, not the entirety of the Torah, as Muslim scholars erroneously claim in their writings. Now, what about the Gospel? Oh, that is a book which Allah revealed to Prophet Isa. Muslims meant Jesus. How much truth in that? It's another comedy. You know why? Because even the Quran itself testifies that Isa, son of Mary, is the word of Allah and a spirit from him. Quran 4:171. So if Isa was the word of Allah, how can Isa receive words from Allah to write on some book? Did Jesus write any book? Absolutely not. All Christians concur that this is not true. Obviously, neither Muhammad or so-called Muslim scholars knew what the word Gospel means. It is the word Injil, which is not even an Arabic word. It is the good news. And what is the good news? Jesus, the Son of God, will come to this world, die on the cross, buried, and on the third day he will rise again. That is the good news of the Gospel. Sadly, Muhammad denied all these facts. So the good news which Isa, son of Mary, came with, it was a book somehow received from Allah, and that book somehow disappeared, because after all, we Christians do not have any access or any evidence that Jesus ever wrote any words, as Muhammad and so-called Muslim scholars claim. So that is, in simple words, the books of the Bible. When in reality, my dear friends, if we open the Bible today, we will find that it's actually Two Testament, Old Covenant or Old Testament, and New Covenant or New Testament. Obviously, Muslims do not know jack about what do we Christian mean by the word even covenant. Their vocabulary when it comes to Christian ideology is equal to nothing. It's like talking to a baby in a cradle about some material for doctorate degree. The Old Covenant, it is the covenant made between God and Abraham, and then God and Isaac, and then God and Jacob, and then God and Moses, and then God with the rest of the names of the prophets about the second coming of Christ. God chosen the children of Israel to accomplish his salvation to all mankind. Jesus must be a Jew born of a virgin, and the rest of the 300 prophecies which were written by all these prophets must be fulfilled in his life. That is the Old Covenant. What about the New Covenant? That is a covenant which God established through his son, Jesus Christ, with the church. Those are the Christians who believe in the work of Christ on the cross. The Old Testament is actually 39 books, not what Muhammad claimed in the Quran. As for the New Covenant, that is what is written in the New Testament after our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, came in the flesh. And these are 27 books. The total of the Old Testament and the New Testament is 66 books written in three different languages, that is Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, in three different continents, that is Africa, Asia, and Europe. And it was written roughly in 1600 years by 40 men. Many of them never met each other. But somehow, when you read that one wonderful book, the Bible, you will discover that it is one story written by all these people about the creation of man, the fall of man in sin, and the redemption in the Old Testament through the sacrifice which brought covering for the sin, and in the New Testament through the blood of Jesus by which we receive full forgiveness of our sins.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
Now, let us read from the Quran to see, is there any truth about the claims of the Muslims that somehow the Bible has been corrupted or has been changed, even in Muhammad's days? In Quran 16:43, we read, "And we here is Allah, and we did not send before you, you here is Muhammad, any except men that we inspired." Hello, my dear Muslim friends. This is your Allah speaking in the Quran. And Allah here is telling us that the men who came before Muhammad, all of them were inspired by Allah, which means the writing of these men who came before Muhammad, it is the writing of true revelation, true inspiration. That is how Allah put his words into writings before Muhammad. Don't forget, Muhammad now claimed to be a prophet literally 600 some years after our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Now let's look at the rest of the verse. "So ask the people of the reminder." What is the reminder? That is the word of Allah. Which word of Allah? The word of Allah which was revealed by the men whom Allah inspired. What are we talking about? We're talking about the Bible. So who, the Muslims or the infidels of Quraysh or even Muhammad himself, should ask? He should ask the Jews and the Christians. "So ask the people of the reminder," the Jews and the Christians, "if you were not knowing." The simple conclusion to that which we have read in that verse is that the Bible is the perfect word of God. If we can just get out of that one verse here, that the men who came before Muhammad, who pens for us the word of God in the Bible, were inspired, meaning they were not speaking from their head. Their words which they wrote, it was not their thought or their personal opinions, but it was the inspired word of God. What is the conclusion? The conclusion that no one can change these words. Where do I come up with that? Well, we come up with that from the rest of the verses which Allah inserted in his Quran, and sadly, Muslims did not bother to read or to understand. For example, in Quran chapter 15, verse 9, we read, "Surely we have sent down the reminder," that is the Bible, "and surely we will be its guardian." That means it is Allah's job, it is Allah's responsibility to protect the Bible, the reminder, from any corruption. The Bible is the inspired word of Allah, and Allah is the one who sent it down, and Allah is the one who will protect it. In Quran chapter 6, verse 34, we read, "And indeed, the messengers, once again, these are the men who came before Muhammad. These are the men whom Allah inspired, because that's what Allah said in Quran 16, verse 43. And indeed, the messengers before were considered liars. So they were patient on being considered liars, and they were harmed until our victory came to them. Listen carefully, my dear Muslim friends. And no one, that is, no one, can change the word of Allah. And indeed, some of the news of the messengers came to you. The important statement in Quran 6:34 is that no one can change the word of Allah. How in the world can you tell me somebody who's able to change the Bible? Which, by the way, it is a book which Allah, your God, personally was responsible for protecting it or guarding it. Let us examine another command in the Quran. That is Quran 4, verse 136. Allah here is speaking to the Muslim believers, and he said, "All you have believed, believe in Allah and his messenger." Obviously, here is Muhammad. "And the book which he has sent down on his messenger." That is obviously the Quran. But we don't stop here, but we keep going. "And the book which he has sent down before." Notice, ladies and gentlemen, this was written 600 years plus after Christ. And Allah is ordering the Muslim believers to believe in the Bible, the book which he sent before. And listen to the rest of the verse. "Whoever become an infidel," meaning disbeliever, "in Allah and his angels," plural, "and his books," plural, "and his messengers," plural, "and in the last days," so indeed he has strayed far away astray. Far away astray meaning those are the people who spend eternity in hell. So Muslims, if you don't want to go to hell, you have to believe in the book which was sent before the Quran. That is the Bible. Once again, in this verse, we know for certain that the Quran never said that the Bible has been corrupted. Hear what Allah said about the Torah. In Quran 5:44, "Surely we have sent down the Torah. In it is guidance and light. So the prophets judge by it those who submit themselves to the Jews and the Jewish teachers and the priests in what they guard from the book of Allah. And they were witnesses over it. So do not fear the people and fear me, and do not purchase with my verses a little price. And whoever does not judge by what Allah has sent down, so those are the infidels." Do you want to be called infidels? Do not believe the Torah. In verse 46, hear what Allah said about the gospel. "And in their footsteps," that is the footsteps of the Jews, "we," that is Allah, "sent Isa, the son of Mary, confirming what is between his hand of the Torah. And we gave him the gospel, in it guidance and light, and confirming what was between his hand from the Torah, and a guidance and an admonition to the fearer." Notice here, the gospel of Jesus, twice Allah stated it confirmed the Torah, which means the Old Testament was confirmed by the gospel. We're talking about over 1500 years. In the following verse, 5:47, "and that the people of the gospel," these are the Christians, "judge by what Allah has sent down in it," meaning live by what is written in the gospel. "And whoever does not judge by what Allah has sent down," listen carefully, "so those are the transgressors." So if you Muslims do not want to live by the teaching of the gospel, you just called yourself transgressors. Finally, in Quran chapter 5 and verse 48, hear what Allah said about the Quran. "And to you," you here is Muhammad, "we have sent down the book." What is the book? The Quran. With the truth. Listen carefully. "Confirming what is between his hands of the book." So the Quran came to confirm the Bible, which, by the way, it was in the hands of Muhammad, or Allah is lying. Not only the Quran came to confirm the Bible 600 years after Christ, but listen carefully, "and as guardian over it." So the Quran came to protect the Bible 600 years after Christ. The most important fact here is that the Quran came to confirm the Bible and to protect the Bible from any corruption. Now let me close with that one verse. That is Quran chapter 10 and verse 94. This verse was given when Muhammad was doubting his own Quran. So if you, that is Muhammad, were in doubt concerning what we have sent down to you, that is the Quran. So ask those, who are those here? The Jews and the Christians, who are reading the book, what book? The Bible, before you. Indeed, the truth came to you from your Lord, so do not be of the doubters. Imagine with me, in Quran 10:94, we know for sure without any doubt that Muhammad used to doubt his Quran, and Allah is asking Muhammad to check his Quran by the Bible, which the Jews and the Christians used to read in Muhammad's days. Two very important facts. Number one, the Bible was there because the Jews and the Christians could not read a book if they do not have the book. Fact number two, if Allah is God, as Muslims claim, and he knows everything, he could not ask Muhammad to remove the doubt he have concerning his Quran by asking the Jews and the Christians who are reading a corrupt book. The Bible was there and the Bible was accurate. So obviously, Quran chapter 16 and verse 43 is a clear verse, and we have proven to you by other verses in the Quran that this is the true message of the teaching of the Quran. As Allah stated once again, and we did not send before you any except men that we inspired. So as the people of the reminder, if you were not knowing, yes, the Bible is the inspired word of God, and it is the perfect word of God, which brings us to the obvious conclusion. Somehow, Muslims thought that the Bible is corrupted, when in reality, it is their Quran that is corrupted. For in one place, the Quran clearly stated the Bible is perfect, but in the other place, the Quran contradicts itself by rejecting the truth which we do have in the Bible. As for the case of the deity of Christ and the work of Christ on the cross, the free salvation which offered to all mankind. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.